This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now. Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors. And it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
Well, first and foremost, thank you for inviting us to have this conversation. It's something that we are definitely looking forward to, for sure.
Me too. Thank you.
So my first question is, how are you and the president building an economy that provides an opportunity for all?
So let me start by one, thanking Donald Boone for that introduction and being here. He is one of the almost 50 entrepreneurs that I invited to my office at the White House last summer to talk about their work, and so I could listen to them and learn what we needed to do to get the word out about what we are doing. And this economic opportunity tour, as much as anything, was born out of that, and then a dinner that the three of us had at my house, and is therefore about being on the road to let folks know what is available to them in the spirit of understanding. We have so many entrepreneurs. We have so many people who have incredible ideas. They are innovative, hardworking, ambitious, have aspirations, have vision. None of that we lack for in the community. But for most folks, we lack access to the resources that will feed those ambitions and those aspirations. I chose Atlanta to be the kickoff for this economic opportunity tour for many reasons that include one of the leaders who is among us, and I would ask us to rise and applaud him, and that is Ambassador Andy Young. Who is here with his wife, Caroline. And I will tell you, as a point of personal privilege, Ambassador Young has been an advisor to me, a mentor to me, and a friend, and has always talked about his vision, his shared vision with Dr. King, about the vision for America that included a vision that was about fighting for civil rights and understanding that to achieve true equality, we have to also have an economic agenda. And that agenda must include speaking to people's ambitions. That yes, everybody wants a job, and President Joe Biden and I are very proud that in our administration we have brought black unemployment down to historic lows. But that's a baseline. We also are focused on something Ambassador Young has talked so much about, which is creating opportunity for people to build wealth and to thereby not only strengthen their family, Donald Boone talked about that, but strengthen the economy of the community as a whole, and everybody in society benefits. So that's why I'm here. And to talk about what we have done, whether it be an extension of the work I did in the United States Senate to get $12 billion more dollars into community banks, or the work that we have done, and you heard the panel earlier today, that is about uplifting our capacity through the Treasury Department. I want to thank Secretary Yellen in her absence for what she has done to be a partner to me around focusing on a number of issues that are about access to capital, but with a focus also on minority-owned businesses. And then what we did to create the Economic Opportunity Coalition, which is, Bank of America, Wells Fargo Bank, Google, and getting private equity to invest in community banks, some of the local community banks being represented here, to increase access to capital so that our entrepreneurs in the community have a place to go where it's the people who are doing the lending know the community, know the capacity of the community, know the mores of the community, and can provide not only capital, but the knowledge that so many need to understand how to run a business. You have a great idea, but you don't necessarily know how to run a payroll. Don't necessarily know what kind of system there is for business taxes in a way that allows you to maximize, right, your resources. Don't necessarily know how you're going to keep up your inventory, and don't necessarily know what is available in terms of creating access to markets. So you have a good product, but you need access to markets. So the work that we have been doing over the last 3 years has been focused on all of these areas, and also understanding the context in which we exist, which is the longstanding disparities. And understanding that in spite of those who in certain parts of our country want to attack DEI, we understand that you can't truly invest in the strength of our nation if you don't pay attention to diversity, equity, and inclusion. We are, for example, paying attention to the fact that in order for any family or individual to have economic well-being, much less the opportunity to create wealth, we need to take into account the history of, for example, the ability of black folks in America to own a home. Let's go far back enough, we can go even further, but let's go far back enough to remember the GI Bill. That was a promise by our nation to invest in who we called the greatest generation who fought in that war. And so there was a policy that said, let us reward them for fighting for our nation and all that we hold sacred, and give them access to loans for home ownership. And the reality, however, of a well-intentioned plan is that it was not well-intentioned in the way it was implemented for a lot of people, in that black veterans did not receive in equal measure those loans. And so whereas a whole population of people had public policy that was about federal investment on lifting people up, certain folks, and black folks in particular, veterans, did not receive the benefit. So now look at the disparity that's created even by that. We look at the history of redlining. We look at the history of segregation. We remember what happened. I know we're going to talk about these urban plans and what that did to cut freeways across communities and limit their access to commerce. We look at what we've been dealing with as an administration around bias in home appraisals, even to this day, where it is well documented that when a Black family in certain places is trying to get an appraisal for their home, be it to get a second loan or to sell it, they're appraised at a lower value than a similarly situated white family. And so these are some of the areas that we are focused on through our economic policies. We've been dealing with student loan debt, understanding that, you know, Black students are much more likely to take out a Pell Grant. We've seen an increase in tuition over the years, but the increase in Pell Grants has not been commensurate with that. We're working on that a bit. But student loan debt and the forgiveness of that as a way to allow people to have more assets that they can then put into buying a home or building a business. So these are some of the examples of what we've been doing. We've been focused on medical debt. Let me just add that. Medical debt can be one of the fastest ways that somebody can go bankrupt. And often that medical debt is accrued because of some medical emergency that someone or someone in their family has experienced that they didn't have the savings or the anticipation for. And we have now put in place a rule that is in the process of being implemented where we have required that medical debt cannot be a part of your credit score. And medical debt cannot be considered when your credit is being evaluated for a car loan, a home loan, things of that nature. So these are some examples of what we've been doing.
Yeah, I want to stay with that theme of access because it's a real issue. When we talk about access, especially communities of color, we've lacked it. A lot of it has been done for many of reasons, but specifically, and you kind of alluded to it, urban renewal.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in knowing what work is being done to address some of these historic inequities.
So during the late 50s and 60s, there was this whole policy push, national policy push, that was called urban renewal. But what it ended up doing was, and it was supposed to be about making life easier for people that live in the areas where it happened. But essentially, it was about a policy that was directed in making it, many people will say, easier for folks who had wealth and means to move to the suburbs and still have access to the downtown. I'm oversimplifying it, but that's essentially it. And you see across the country, I'm going to be in Detroit on this tour. I'm going to be in Milwaukee. As you all know, I'm from California, from the Bay Area. We saw it there, where these freeways were built. And it basically to cut through communities, which bifurcated the community so that folks couldn't have easy access to, let's say, the small businesses from where they lived. And it ended up decimating these communities for years. So what we have been doing through our infrastructure bill is putting resources into basically reconnecting communities. So here in Atlanta, for example, freeway 75 and 85, what we are doing is dealing with the fact that I guess there was a division from Sweet Auburn from downtown, and what we need to do to reconnect by creating basically pathways that include over that pathway, creating parks, but literally the infrastructure and recreating that infrastructure so we can reconnect communities. So here in Atlanta, there is going to be $158 million out of our infrastructure bill that will do that work. And it's going to create, we estimate, about 13,000 jobs. And also focus on affordable housing, which was one of the big issues that we're facing as a country.
Another major issue for entrepreneurs is access to capital. We know that I think less than 1% goes to Black businesses. So what are some steps that you guys are doing to kind of correct that issue, which suffocates a lot of businesses from getting started or from expanding?
So here's where I come to this point. It, none of us have achieved success without support. None of us. And without someone or people who understood our talent and our dreams and encouraged us to achieve it and showed us how to achieve it. And as much as anything, the spirit behind the push for access to capital, and in particular on this tour, focusing on minority small businesses and Black-owned small businesses and small businesses and entrepreneurs who are Black men, is to recognize the disparities that have existed around the access to the opportunity to achieve success. Again, I will say, because success is almost always a function of some investment from a community or others that went into the individual who then achieves success. So the access to capital push that we have made has been about, yes, getting more federal dollars into community banks. It has been about getting the private sector and the big banks to invest, because they will admit, and we know, they are not necessarily in the place where they are, where we need them to be situated to know the community. Access to capital is encompasses a commitment to also making sure that we are doing the teaching to then create the access to market. So it's about financial literacy. A lot of what we talked about before around helping people know how to start a business and keep a business going. And it's also about understanding that our small, you know, I interchange the word entrepreneur and small business. I think basically, depending on the generation, someone considers themselves an entrepreneur in terms of younger small businesses, but it's all entrepreneurship, right? What we also know is that our entrepreneurs, our small business owners, are not only leaders in business, but community leaders, civic leaders, hiring locally, mentoring, creating opportunities for economic development and growth within individuals and communities. So the work we are doing to extend access to capital is about tapping into the ambition that exists, the aspirations that exist, and then giving people the resources that are necessary, money and other resources, to actually achieve success. Can you talk a little bit about how you all achieved your success and how this kind of approach would lend itself to others having a story similar to yours?
Yeah, you know, we started with an iPhone and an idea. That's what we always say, that we didn't have any capital when we started, right? And that's the beauty of social media. Technology has really empowered everybody and kind of leveled the playing field. But what we're seeing is that when we're interviewing, you know, other entrepreneurs that may not have the same business model as us, mm-hmm. they have an extremely difficult time. Mm-hmm. And especially when we look at the next generation of unicorn companies, yeah. billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar companies, those are mostly tech companies, and you do need a lot more money to start a tech That's company. Right. So I feel like the entrepreneur in Morehouse and Spelman, they have just as good ideas as Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos,
yeah.
but they don't have the capital.
Right.
So they either abort those ideas or they work for mm-hmm. those companies. But even that's an issue, because we know that we are not hired at the same rate in Silicon Valley as other people as well, right? So mm-hmm. even talking to Robert Smith and a lot of other people like that, this is a very complex problem. But I think from our perspective, we have a unique perspective, because we actually get to talk to entrepreneurs every single day.
Yeah.
And we can understand how $100,000 could just accelerate their business, right? $50,000 can accelerate their business, right? And even looking in the crowd, we have entrepreneurs. I see Pinky Cole, I see Eastside Golf. And
yeah.
these are young entrepreneurs that went out on a limb and bet on their...
Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics, from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. you understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Self, right? But a little bit more capital, they can be the next McDonald's. They could be the next Nike, right? And that's what we need in our community, so they can employ.
That's right.
So they can employ not just 100 people, but 100,000 people.
That's right. And that you hit it on the head in terms of how we feel about this. This is, you know, yes, there are going to be those who need $20,000 loans, but folks need $1 million loans, right? And when we talk about a small business, it could be a dozen employees, but it could also be 200 employees. And it is that piece of it that is about getting to that next plateau. That is very much how I'm thinking about this tour and the work that we are doing. So yes, it's about startup capital, but also what is required then to grow and to scale and have it be sustainable. One of the pieces I failed to mention before, but I'll mention now, is the president and I, when we first came in, made a commitment that we are going to increase by 50% the number of federal contracts going to minority-owned businesses. And we're on track to get that done. So part of the point of this tour has been to give folks information about how you apply for a federal contract. The reason that we made that commitment is because we then put in place more information that is available to more people about how to get a federal contract, because a lot of that historically has been who you know. And when you get a federal contract, it is potentially yours for life. Mm-hmm. And is very sustainable and can be the source of great growth for that individual who owns that business and beyond. I'll also say this, and I was saying it to a few folks earlier. The work that we have accomplished as an administration, be it the infrastructure bill and what we are doing to invest, it'll be trillions of dollars in infrastructure, roads, bridges, sidewalks, all of that, transportation, public transportation. What we have done with the CHIPS and Science Act, which is about investment in technology and research and development, what we are doing with the Inflation Reduction Act, which is about at least $1 trillion invested in the climate, but a clean energy economy. One of the compelling reasons for me to start this tour now and to ask all the leaders here for help in getting the word out about what is available to entrepreneurs and small businesses is because we are in the process of putting a lot of money in the streets of America for this growth. And we want to make sure everyone has access to the opportunity to take advantage of the contracts and the work that is being generated by this policy push. And so we want to make sure people know about it and then know where they can receive the support to be ready to take on the work and then to grow their capacity. I was very surprised to learn that over 70% of construction companies in America, and I'm pretty sure that number is still correct, 70% of construction companies in America employ 20 or fewer people. Those are small businesses, right? Who, when we're building back up America's infrastructure, a lot of that is construction work. Got to make sure people know about what's available to them to actually take those jobs.
Yeah, I think that's why this moment is so important, right? I always believe that first it's the awareness part. Yeah. We understand what needs to be done. Then it's the education around it, which I think people kind of leave out. But it's the action piece. And it feels like there's some action, especially with this tour. There's the action that's going to take place. I want to talk about something that's important for every entrepreneur, and that's the cost of living, affordability. And so we've seen interest rates, obviously, over the past 4 years, they've risen. What steps are being taken to lower the burden of housing costs? Because like you said, there's disparities in it. We can go all the way back to the GI Bill when we talk about the creation of generational wealth throughout communities.
Yeah.
It's kind of missed us. So what is being done now from your side?
So to your point, we know that home ownership is probably the most effective way to build intergenerational wealth. And it's a fact. And just you think about it in this context. As a homeowner, then as a parent, if you have a child that wants to go to, okay, this is what I'm going to say, Howard University.
Such a great choice. Wonder where you got that one from.
I couldn't help myself. Or FAMU, or Spelman, or Morehouse, or Clark. And Clark Atlanta, yes. And as a parent then, as a homeowner, if you have some equity in your home, you can say to your child, you know, don't take out the loan. I'll take out some of the equity to help you pay for tuition so that you don't graduate with extraordinary student loan debt. And so that when you graduate, you can do your dream job and not worry about those hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt, and you can go on and prosper. As a homeowner, if your child says to you, I want to start a business, I've got a great idea. And you as a parent can say, let me take out some equity to give you some startup capital. Intergenerational wealth. However, again, as we've already discussed, there have been biases and explicit laws and practices that have been in place over generations to exclude certain folks and communities from that opportunity to create that wealth. And so we're focused on it, also knowing that the net worth of a homeowner is about 40 times that of a renter. Think about that. And so what we can do to uplift and create opportunities for that are very important. So one of the things we've done is we have proposed that there would be for first generation homeowners, so first time homeowners, at a certain income level, a $25,000 credit to be able to put a down payment down, which we know would make a huge difference. And then we're looking at an additional policy that would be about basically, for those who qualify, $400 a month in tax credits so people can be able to pay their mortgage on a monthly basis. And we are on track to a commitment to build 2 million more affordable housing units, including what we're doing here in terms of the freeway. So that's important. But the reality of it is that when we focus on this issue, we got to realize that part of the reason everything is so expensive is we don't have enough supply on the market. And this is a national problem. So our investments are about also what we need to do to build affordable housing. I'm looking at some issues around how we can look at vacant commercial real estate and conversion. There's a lot of this issue that is about also what we need to do to focus on local rules that might make it different, zoning rules that might make it different for these things to happen, and how we can create incentives that are productive for everybody. And then it gets back to, for example, the student loan debt. And what we have seen, we have now forgiven over $150 billion in student loan debt. On average, we're looking at somewhere around $70,000 per person. And especially if we're talking about people in public service, nurses, firefighters, teachers, and doubling the number for them. But one of the other things I'd ask the leaders here in terms of helping me get the word out, let people know they qualify for student loan debt even if they never graduated. That's really important for folks to know. Because, you know, think about it in terms of the logic of the policy. Why is it that the case? Because sadly, they didn't graduate, some people, because they couldn't afford to keep paying tuition. But they still have to pay back that loan. So help us get the word out so that people apply. And I guess that gets to the heart of this tour and everything else we're doing. Folks in a lot of situations just don't know what's available to them. And I need the help of the leaders who are here to get the word out so people know what is available to them.
Well, that leads me to my next question. I'm not sure if you already answered it or not, but I was going to ask about student loan and what the administration has done for, obviously, there's millions of Americans that, once again, are suffocated with student loan debt, and it's really crippled their lives.
So, you know, I'll tell you, we went bolder with our plan and for student loan debt relief, and then the court cut some of the stuff that we were doing, but we have not stopped. And so we are, through whatever and all of the powers that we have through executive orders and things of that nature, been forgiving again up to $150 billion of student loan debt. What I have seen in my travels around what this means for the people who have applied and figured it out, it's extraordinary. I mean, I've met people who have been forgiven, you know, three-digit thousands of dollars of debt. I've met teachers who've been teaching for 20-something years, carrying that debt and not giving up the profession of teaching. We don't pay them enough as it is. And, you know, and so thinking about that, and let's think about, you know, there were those who resisted the policy from the beginning and said, well, why do they need, they should pay off their loans. Why do they need it forgiven? Well, let's go back to the example of public servants, nurses, firefighters, teachers. We don't pay them enough. And do we, the people who have a calling to, for example, teach other people's children, who pay for school supplies out of their own back pocket, and the benefit they give to all of us as a society, should we not think about that and think about the fact that we want them to stay in that noble profession? I think about the number of young people who have a calling to do that kind of work, similar kind of work, who have to go to some other kind of job because they need to pay off their loans, when we want that people would be able to follow their passion, especially when it benefits all of us and uplifts society. So the reasons behind the policy include just that. And again, let's just let people know that they don't have to have graduated in order to get their debt forgiven, especially if that might mean that if they want to go back to school, they can go back and know that they can afford to go back.
Well, this is coming from a teacher. I say educator now, turn entrepreneur. I couldn't agree with you more. Pay our teachers. First, I just want to thank you for this. This has been an amazing opportunity. But we do have entrepreneurs here in the building. Where are our entrepreneurs at? There they go.
Oh, Big Dave Cheesesteaks.
That's
Isaac Hayes in the back.
Shout out to Isaac Hayes.
He can't sing as good as his dad, though.
No, no. We wouldn't want him to either. What piece of advice would you like to leave this audience? Like I said, this is Atlanta's such a hub of innovation for many businesses, but what would you like to leave this audience with in terms of advice for entrepreneurship?
That you are worthy of and entitled to receive an investment in your dream and your ambition, and to seek out the resources that exist, and we're trying to make it easier for you to find those resources, but seek them out and know, you know, it's interesting. There's some studies that show that Black entrepreneurs are often less likely than others to actually apply for a loan for fear they will be rejected. I mean, it's pretty significant data that supports that point. So part of my advice is go for it. Apply for it. And get the word out, right? We don't lack for really incredible vision and entrepreneurial creative thought. And so it's just a matter of, like, let's not let society or history impede or silence those ambitions. And then I would urge everyone to know, for example, community lenders and to seek them out. I was just earlier at Rice, and what's happening there in terms of helping young entrepreneurs get ready and then have access. I met this young brother. He's got a water company and is now going to be selling at Walmart, right? And so there are institutions and places that are available to you, groups that are available, mentors here. I would say to the entrepreneurs who are here, make sure you talk to the person sitting next to you, because they may just be that person who is willing to mentor you or willing to give you some advice about how they achieve their success. But don't give up, because we need you. Our country needs you. And that's how we're going to be strong. And I want to just put a fine point on it. Be proud of your ambition. Be proud of your ambition. Have ambition. Dream with ambition. Do not ever be burdened by other people's limited ability to see what is possible. Don't let that burden you. You know, my mother always used to say to me, don't you ever let anybody tell you who you are. You tell them who you are, right? I have another saying. I eat no for breakfast. I don't hear no until maybe the 10th time. Don't hear no. Don't hear no.
Madam Vice President, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'ma keep on and cause they're winning and quit on themselves.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.